Hello, listener, and welcome to this preview of our latest Patreon-exclusive episode. To continue the conversation and listen to the full episode, head over to the Beyond the Screenplay Patreon. The link is in the show notes. Hello, patrons, and welcome to this patron-exclusive episode of Beyond the Screenplay, where we are going to be talking about the winner of our recent Oscar winner vote thing. Spotlight, the 2015 film written by Josh Singer and Tom McCarthy, directed by Tom McCarthy. I'm joined by part of the Beyond the Screenplay team, Trisha Rand.
Hello, everyone.
And Brian Bittner.
Hello, hello.
And Alex where is Alex? He's dead? What do we say?
He is out of the state.
We're trying to get the story, but we can't.
Yeah, we don't actually know.
All of our sources have been verified.
We wait until someone sues for the thing and then countersues, which will put it into public domain. But we got to get there first before the, and that's when we'll find out where Alex is.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Yes, Alex couldn't join us, unfortunately. So it is the three of us, and we are talking about Spotlight, which is such a good movie. Mm-hmm. All of the movies on the vote are good movies, and it was a close one. It went back and forth, but I was very happy when Spotlight won because I had only seen it once, really, really enjoyed it, and was eager for an excuse to watch it again. And I love this movie. It's so fun, which is surprising given its subject matter, but it's just a really entertaining, compelling story that is well told. The cast is amazing. It doesn't get in its own way. It's not overindulgent, trying to be too Oscar baity or too like judgmental or like too, we're trying to like, it just does its thing and it does it so well. And it's really entertaining. So I really love this movie. And I'm excited to talk about it. I want to hear from you guys, first time seeing it or not, and then, yeah, general thoughts. Trisha.
Yeah, I love this movie. I think I saw it a couple times during Oscar season in 2015 when it was nominated for Best Picture. And actually, I do want to point out, Michael, you said our Oscar winner vote, but this was actually a vote of mostly Best Picture nominees and not winners.
Thank you.
Yes. However, we are the winners today because our listeners picked the only movie off that list that had actually won Best Picture. And it's a really interesting Best Picture winner from the last decade because it didn't, you know, it's a very quiet, intelligent, as you're pointing out, thoughtful, serious-minded movie without also being like melodramatic or, yeah, grandstanding or that kind of thing. And I don't know. It just made me so nostalgic for like, remember when journalism? And also movies about journalism that are literally just about journalism. Like, this movie's not about anything other than getting a story and doing it right. And the process of what it looks like when a team works together toward that goal. It's remarkable and very well written, incredibly acted, as you're pointing out. So I've seen it a couple of times since then, and rewatching it for this, I was yet more impressed because it feels like even though time has passed, no one has kind of made another movie like this. I mean, The Post came out after this, and it's definitely in the same world. But again, it doesn't, The Post is doing some of those things that I was saying the Spotlight doesn't do, where it feels a little bit more Oscar baity and like, you know, it is about a period of time that was older and showier and has like a feminist angle to it and feels, you know, a little bit more hot button, like, look at us as we're tackling this thing that's whatever. And the Spotlight is just, here are some people who are really, really good at their jobs. And they uncovered a really important story and did it the right way. And it was insanely dense and complicated and hard to do for them personally and for them professionally. But the script just focuses on what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's so tense. Like, I was reading a review of it today that was like, the drama comes from the investigation, and the investigation is so tense that it makes even photocopying, like, you're at the edge of your seat. Like, is he going to get the copies? Yeah, it's great. It's just, it's amazing. And such, to my mind, such an outlier, especially in like 21st century cinema, a film like this. So cannot wait to get into it more.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Brian, thoughts?
This was also a movie I saw in 2015. And I think I always thought it was going to be just a one-off movie for me. And I don't mean that to disrespect the movie in any way, but there's some movies you see once and you go, that was really good. I really liked it. And then you expect for the rest of your life, you'll go, that was really good when I saw it that one time. But that's also why, you know, for the podcast or for any other reason, it's great when you are asked to revisit something that you didn't think you would revisit. And I just appreciated this movie even more this time, and appreciating sort of, some of the structural things, some of the stakes things, some of the, like, the escalation that's going on with this story. And yeah, you know, you use the word fun, and it's just like, it's like, how does a movie where, like, no one, you know, is getting a brick thrown through their window that says, like, you better stop or whatever, you know, like, it doesn't have that kind of energy to it. But then that also just let you focus on the story. As you were saying, Tricia, we're not like, what's going on with this person's home life and da da da. And what if that becomes more interesting than the actual story the movie is trying to tell? And now I don't care when they're in the newsroom because I'm more interested in how their date went or whatever, you know? It's like, no, we're not doing any of that. We're just focusing on this one story. And I think that's really cool. And it's interesting because I was just looking at the Best Picture nominees for 2015. And it's like, it was an interesting year because there was a lot of quiet movies that year. There was Spotlight, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, and Room, all of which were, you know, just kind of like these kind of quiet dramas. And then The Big Short, which was like sort of almost in the similar subject matter, not obviously investigative journalism necessarily, but then like, how do you take a movie and like do the complete opposite approach, which is like, here's Margot Robbie in a bathtub to explain the next thing to you. Right. And then The Martian, which was kind of a weird blend of like drama and comedy and space movie and whatever.
What a weird year.
Yeah. And then Mad Max Fury Road and The Revenant, which were just like, there you go. There are the like big crazy
movies. Movie.
Right. Yep. So yeah, very weird and very, very cool for Spotlight to take the Oscar this year. But yeah, I mean, I really respect this movie. I think it's cool how the sort of realism thing it's doing here, where it's not trying to do that, like, look how documentary-ish this is. Like, it's like we put a camera in the room. It's not trying to do that. It's trying to be a movie. But the production design and the costume design, you know, the actors don't feel like they're being actor-y, and they're all wearing clothes from Sears. And, you know, like the sound design, there's just always kind of room tone and buzzing lights and sounds of people working. There's just an immersion to this movie that makes you really feel like you are just kind of sucked into this workplace for the extent of the movie. And I think that really just helps all the things we're talking about, just really helps pull you into it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That kind of gets into one of the first things I was struck by watching it again was the cinematography and how not attention demanding it was. And I think that's, you know, thinking about The Post or some of these other movies, when we talk about sort of the grasping for the Oscars, it's like, it's got to be dark and there's going to be shafts of light, or like really high key. It's got to be dramatic and, you know, dripping with, you know, aesthetic things. Or the opposite, kind of like what you were just saying, Brian, where it's like, it's a documentary, it's handheld, it's gritty, it's like, we shot it on film and then we added extra grain to make it even look more real. Like, and this movie doesn't do either of those. It just shoots the action that is happening. It follows very conventional rules. Like, we have our over the shoulders, we have our coat, like, shot, reverse shot. It's just doing like the normal thing to a really high bar, but it's not trying to shove style or meaning in your face, like, visually with it. It's kind of just letting the story happen and tell itself in the frame. A lot of like medium shots also, like, it lets the actors play and interact and like live in a space, with again, out being like, look at this crazy long take that we did. And it's mostly about like how cool our camera work is. Like there's, it's all just like focused on, I feel like, the actors and their performance, and their performances feel like it's just really about the information and like tracking, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we're trying to solve. And so it was just kind of like refreshing to see a movie that's, it's not like it's poorly shot, it's really well shot, but it's not going, you know, far toward the artiste side of things.
Right. I can't remember any like specific shot composition from that, this movie. And that's a good thing, right? Like, right. I can't remember when it's like, that thing's going on in the foreground, that thing's going on in the background. It's like, that's not what I want from this movie. What I remember are the scenes and the dialogue and the performances.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are a couple moments that stand out, but it's because they're in service of like pivotal story moments. Mm. So like, you know, when his name is Matt Carroll is the character, but Brian D'Arcy James realizes that the treatment center is around the corner from his house, right? There's a long water that follows him out and down the street as he's like, wait, where the hell is this house? It's, you know, and so we understand the proximity. So the Warner is doing story work. Mm-hmm. It's not calling attention to itself for any other reason. It's just like, here's how close it is. And then I think there were a couple, there's like another one that I noticed where there's like a pullback. It's when they're realizing, I think, that there are 90 priests, or they're on the phone with the psychiatrist who is saying like, no, actually, you know, 13 seems like a really low number to me. In my experience, it's actually more like 6%. And then they do the math and they realize that's 90 priests. There's a really long, slow pullback where we're starting, the characters are getting smaller in frame, right? And they're stationary. They're just staged around the desk because they're listening to him on the phone. But the magnitude of the scene is expanding. And again, it's doing it. That's the midpoint of the movie pretty much, or it's the start of the midpoint sequence. And so it's doing a pivotal character thing. I mean, a pivotal story thing. Not just being cinematography, for its own sake, or again, trying to manufacture meaning out of nothing by just inserting style in place. And I do want to say this movie was, I was reading reviews of it, it was a little bit criticized for that reason. Like, you know, people thought that The Post was stylish as hell and that this movie was like just a blah in terms of direction. And I just love that this is so hyper-focused on the story. I think it's the right way to do this movie. And like, to your point, Michael, I actually noticed the same thing about the dialogue, where they are basically, you could have had like scenes that get really big, right? With characters like yelling at each other and like throwing things in the newsroom and, you know, knocking papers off of desks and stuff.
Swipe everything off of the desk. Flip it over. Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of what you're always braced for in the movie, right? Whereas like, but when are we going to hear the monologue about the justice of getting the justice for the children? And there's that one outburst that Mark Ruffalo's character has. Mm-hmm. But basically everything else, and it's not even like, it is an outburst, but it's not this like lofty, idealistic, super eloquent, super quotable, you know, manifesto on justice. It's just a character that's lost his cool in that moment.
And the characters aren't then like not speaking to each other for 2 weeks and like it has to be mended. It's like, that's not what this movie is.
Exactly. The dialogue feels like it's doing the equivalent of the cinematography too, where it's just delivering the information to you as succinctly and clearly as possible. And it's magnificent.
Right. Yeah. Well, cause I feel like people can conflate, a lack of showiness with like an unremarkability, but like you're saying, it's magnificent. Like there's so much thought put into it. And I think that's where it kind of is an elevated like form of this, even though it's not showy. You wouldn't look at it at a glance, be like, oh, this is gorgeous. It is gorgeous because it's doing these story things like you're talking about. And I think those two shots you called out are such great examples of like, here is style for a story purpose. Like, that's what that looks like. That's what I wonder looks like when it is doing like a narrative thing. It's all about the physical space. And so, yeah, I really, really like that. And yeah, so the dialogue, like you're saying, it does also feel like that. That outburst is notable because it is the only one, and it's so like late in the movie. I feel like it earns that frustration, but it's also not even about like, it is about the injustice of all of it, but it's also just like the frustration and exhaustion of this work that has been done, and like, aren't we there yet? It feels like we should be there yet. And so I also just like that this movie is so focused on the work that the people are doing and isn't terribly judgmental as far as like the way it treats the sort of like morality of the subject matter, I think is really interesting, because it's not like it doesn't have an opinion. And I think that is smart, because what you're talking about is something that is clearly like awful and like the worst thing. But it also doesn't feel like it has to constantly like beat you over the head with like how awful this is and all that stuff. Like it knows, you know, it's not going to shove it in your face, but it's not going to shy away from it either. And I just feel like the exactly how it deals with all of that felt just right to me, in a way that it wasn't absent. Like the morality wasn't absent from the film. It was actually very present, but it was present in me as I was thinking about all of the stuff, but it wasn't being forced down my throat, which I thought was interesting and I liked a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's the thing that I talk about, and the three types of movies I group together are politics, war, and sports, where it's just sort of like, there's going to be multiple scenes of people talking about really specific things. And if you lose the thread somewhere along the way, you're just going to be completely lost and be like, I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know what they're after. I don't know what they're angry about or whatever. And for sure, the investigative journalism type of movie is absolutely in that, in that ballpark, where it's just like, you better care about like, if you're going to watch people for 2 hours, like try to do a thing, you better care about what that thing is, you know. But this movie, it's just like, look, we already know, you know, this thing is unfortunately awful and ubiquitous and you hear about it all the time. So like, that's already there, you know? And it's like, the people are going to go get the bad people, and it's like, okay, I'm good. You know? I mentioned on the podcast, I recently watched She Said, which is about breaking the Weinstein case. And it's like, yep, like I'm on board. Go do it. You don't need to remind me what's going on. And I think that, yeah, like, this movie is, I couldn't tell you exactly what's happening in every scene all the time, where I'm like, wait, what just was decided there? Like, what are they trying to do to make sure this other thing happens? But it's fine, because I know what the big thing is, right? I know what I want to happen by the end of the movie, and I know that I want to see them progress towards their goal. And I think that any movie that just keeps reminding you of that without having to necessarily always remind you of what the thing is effective. Mm-hmm.
Well, and this tone, the tone of this movie is really crucial. And the movie wisely creates that tone by allowing the characters to signal to us at all moments how we should be feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think it's really interesting that in those scenes with some of the victims where they're being interviewed, you know, Rachel McAdams's character, Sasha Pfeiffer's interviewing them, or Mark Ruffalo's character is interviewing victims. Like, there is a strength, but also like a gravity to the way that they receive the very difficult information that they're hearing. And I just love the way that it's all played. I think, you know, there's often like, it's shocking, it's unpleasant to hear, but it's important to get the details right, to tell the story. In that first scene where Rachel McAdams's character is interviewing, they're in the coffee shop and she's interviewing one of the victims, and he's really nervous, right? And he's very clearly nervous, and she kind of has to keep pushing him. And he's like, well, let's get these coffees to go. And, you can see that there's this tightrope of tone that both the characters are having to navigate and the movie is having to hold and navigate as well, in order to be respectful to the reality of this story, right? I like what you said at the beginning, that this is a movie that is a movie, and it isn't trying to be a documentary. And so it's got scenes and characters. It's dramatized. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly dramatized. But it feels like when you watch it, it's dramatized with integrity and absolute faithfulness to the underlying reality, which is a very serious one. And so I think that's the thing, is that, you know, you get these stories about real people and they can feel exploitative, or they feel like, you know, true crime especially is really icky about this, where it's like murder in the Murderville and it's all, you know, really, really dramatized and sensationalized.
That was a good one.
that's my favorite true crime podcast. But yeah, I love that.
Why were those people living in Murderville? They should have known better.
Sorry, I'm not going to run with that joke. I'm just going to let that one lie. But again, you get the sense that there's a real respect here for the truth. And so the movie thematically is signaling to you, this is how we handle the truth and present it. And this is the way that we present it tonally. And so you're not left like giggling or like made to feel uncomfortable or whatever. Like, I think it's, I mean, you are obviously you're made to feel uncomfortable, but the movie is telling you how to receive the information that it's giving you. And that's what tone is.
Hope you enjoyed this preview clip. To continue the conversation and listen to the entire episode, head over to the Beyond the Screenplay Patreon. The link is in the show notes.